singing tonight. You say, well, they're getting up here to sing, but we're not going to sing. But the boys are going to help me with an illustration, okay? We're moving slow tonight. Oh, you guys are tired or what? They're coming. They're coming. You know, if tonight, go ahead and stand right here and face that way, please. It's not too bad. It's not too bad. No pies in the face or anything like that. If I said, well, you know, who here tonight has the biggest height? I'm using that word biggest in particular, the most height. It would probably be Ryan. He's about 6'2". I don't know. Bill Lepro was here. I'm not really sure. Bill's pretty tall, too. But tonight, Bill wasn't able to make it, obviously. So he has the biggest height. Now, if you say, how tall are you, Tim? Whoa! Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Amy, for blowing my analogy. I really appreciate that. We're going to have a talk right after church, okay? But let's say for the purpose of argument tonight that Ryan is the tallest. I'm sorry, Tim. I didn't realize you was quite that tall. So biggest height. Now, if you're talking about the biggest weight, now I'm just going to take it, okay? I'm just going to take it. Let's say that I have the biggest weight, okay? All right. And then Jason, I don't know if you've ever felt this boy's arms or not, but if you the biggest biceps, I figure, would be Jason. Now, if you were to confront us, and challenging us or whatever, if you were dealing with Ryan, probably the thing you better watch out for is he's tall. You may not be able to reach him, right? Or he's got a pretty big arm span, and so he can hold your head like this and boom, 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 right? So you'd have to deal with it. Now me, I played football, so I know how to leverage my weight. So if you're a little puny thing, I'm going to push you out of the way because I know how to leverage it. Or the worst thing that could happen to you, I'd sit on you. Now, that would really, really hurt. So the biggest weight, biggest height, biggest bicep. Now, what's the problem if you're challenging Jason? You better not let him get a hold of you, okay? He could probably, or, you know, maybe that punch, that one punch that landed, kabunk, right? Now, we're using the human idea of the biggest height, biggest bicep, biggest weight. But you know what? There's a God who is bigger than anything. And it's really amazing sometimes how we deal with God. And sometimes, I don't like to use the fight analogy necessarily, but sometimes, honestly, we fight against God, that is. We fight against God because we don't want to surrender. But let me tell you, the biggest of all is our God. And we're going to look at that tonight. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate that. Tonight, we're going to talk about that. Spiritually speaking, God, our God, the God of the Bible, is bigger than us in every way. Bigger than us in every way. We're continuing the series of sermons on Wednesday night, How Big Is God? How Big Is God? And we usually answer that in some way or have another part to that, a subtitle. The subtitle tonight, He's Bigger Than Us! Exclamation point, okay? How big is God? He's bigger than us. Point number one tonight, He's bigger than other gods. He's bigger than other gods. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 17. Now this is Moses speaking to Israel, okay? In Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 17. Notice what it says. It says, "For the Lord your God," speaking to the children of Israel, "is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God, a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons, nor taketh reward." Now, don't let that word terrible, that just means of great power, okay? So, it says right there, and the Bible, is it really true? Yeah. Is every word of the Bible true? Who wrote this book? God. See, that's what we stand on and that's what we believe. And as Moses talked to the children of Israel, listen to how he described our God. He says he is God of gods. What does that mean? He is bigger than all gods, right? He is the one. Now, I know there's no true big G gods anywhere other than our God. But a lot of times we'll put things in place of God, little g God, and people sometimes in the other religions, religions have little idols and they worship and the different gods, little g gods. There's no other big g gods anywhere. But he makes it very clear that our God is bigger than other gods. He says also, and Lord of lords. He reigns supreme. His authority is above anyone else. Anyone else's authority or any little pagan little thing you put up, God's bigger than that, right? It says a great God, a mighty God, a terrible God, or big in power and strength. You see, our God is bigger than other gods. Psalm 95 and verse 3. Now, this ought to pump us up a little bit. You know, really, it should. You know, this ought to be like a pep talk that a coach gives you before you go into the game. Because I don't want a wimpy God with me. I don't want a wimpy God to try to tackle my problems. I want a powerful God, and I'm telling you that our God is bigger than all gods. Little g gods. Psalm 95. That should have been an amen time, and that kind of surprised me. Nobody said anything. Let me try that again, okay? What did I say? Our God is a big God. He's a powerful God. He's an all-powerful God. Psalm 95, verse 3. Here it says, for the Lord is a great God and a great King. And it says it right there, above all gods. You know, there's no comparison. I mean, it really is ridiculous, and God kind of laughed at a number of these things too. Through the Bible, you know, he said, basically you're praying to gods who can't hear you and can't speak and can't do anything. And sometimes we do the same thing. I mean, what is in control of our life? That's a little g god to us, really. And it's not going to bless us. It's not going to help us. It's really not going to do anything much eternally for us at all, is it? So our God is bigger than other gods. Revelation 19:17. Revelation 19:17. Now, this is the passage of Scripture. Remember, at the end of the tribulation period, that is the Battle of Armageddon, when the Lord gets on his white horse and we follow him on our horses, and it says a sword proceeds out of his mouth and he goes down and devours all the enemies of God. We're talking about millions and millions of people. And listen, it says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God. That's not the right verse. Let me look at it. Okay. I'll find it real quick. I must have just put one above it or one below it, maybe. Revelation 19, maybe verse 16. No, Revelation 19, verse 16. It says, and he hath, I was one too late, wasn't I? One verse too far down. It says, and he hath on his vesture. Wow. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. And you know what that name is? That one is riding the white horse to come back to devour all the enemies of God. That this is Jesus. And it says, King of kings and Lord of lords. I say again, under this big point number one, he's bigger than other gods. You know, there's probably many, many, many examples in the Bible, but there's two of them that come to my mind pretty quickly. Whenever you compare our God to other little g gods. You know, the first one that came to mind was Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Remember that? Let me just relate that story to you, okay? God told Elijah to challenge the prophets of Baal. So they went up on Mount Carmel. And it was like a competition here between Baal and God. Who's going to show himself as God? And remember, the prophets of Baal got up there. They built the altar. They put the bull up, cut the bull up. And then they called out to that God, and it got past noon. Remember? It got past noon. Then it got in the evening, and they were cutting themselves and bleeding all over the altar. And Elijah kind of chided them a little bit, says, well, maybe your God, several things. One thing he says, maybe he's on vacation. He's on a break. And then, remember what Elijah did. The altar was made. The offering was put on the altar. He got, three barrels of water and poured it all around. There was water dripping everywhere. He calls out to God, and kaboom, everything's consumed. The water, the altar, the sacrifice, and all of it. And everybody's like, whoa, we know who the true God is here. Let me tell you, our God is bigger than other gods. Again, I know it's easy for us to say, well, I'm glad I'm not a Buddhist because our God is bigger than the God of the Buddhists. Or we might say, I'm glad I'm not Muslim bigger than Muhammad, you know, or Allah in this case. But we got to be careful because, remember, we a lot of times, if there's something that's dominating your time and taking your time from God and you're putting as a priority above God, that's a little g-god in your life. And I'm telling you, it's gonna cause problems. You got to make sure that you realize in your heart and your mind that our God is bigger than any other god, little g-god. Now, isn't it true that a lot of people and a lot of Christians fit in this category? They work and they work and they work to get money and more money and more money and more money. And it's all about money and status and prestige or whatever. You know, I got to have the biggest truck. It's got to be at least 16 feet off the ground, you know, with a ladder that comes down for me to get up in it. And you know, and I got to get that trophy buck and I got to catch that biggest fish and I got to do. And if you're not careful, these things, and ladies, there's things in your life that can be the same thing. You know, I got to have the cleanest house. If I don't have the cleanest house, I'm the, you know, that can go extreme too. That could be a god. Or anything that takes all of your time or too much of your time away from God, it becomes a little g god, right, in your life. Our God, the God of the Bible, the God that we serve, is bigger than that god. And it's going to catch up with you. Seriously. If you serve another little g god in your life, it's going to catch up with you in a bad way. Because if you're a child of God, he brings a switch to us sometimes, doesn't he? The second example, there was one example, Elijah and the prophets of Baal, or God versus Baal. Guess who the champion was? God. Yeah. What about God versus Dagon? Remember in 1 Samuel chapter 5, I'm not going to turn there, but in 1 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 to 8, that the preceding story is 1 Kings chapter 18. But in 1 Samuel chapter 5, remember, the Philistines had captured the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of God. And so the Philistines thought, you know what, we're going to put, and something I read said they probably kind of put it in there as an insult to God. Because we're putting the Ark of the Covenant in with this statue, our God, Dagon. And they put him in there, and it kind of like implied like maybe they put him like at the tail of Dagon, or behind Dagon or something. Do you know what happened? They come in there the next day, and Dagon was going, boom. The image of Dagon was plumped over. So you know what they did? They put Dagon back up. Next day they come in there, Dagon was not only, boom, he had no head, he had no arms, he had no legs anymore. Dagon was just a trunk. And then God versus Dagon. Who's the bigger God there? Our God, right? They said it, basically it said that Dagon fell over the threshold, so they don't go over the threshold anymore. Kind of the idea is they might have just kind of turned their back on that god Dagon, saying, okay, he's not a real god. He's a little g-god, he can't do it. But you know, how big is God? He's bigger than other gods, point number one. Everybody got that? You agree with that? Say amen. He's bigger than other gods. Number two, he is the very biggest. Okay? He's the very biggest. Psalm 147, verse 5. Notice this. Psalm 147, verse 5. Not only is he bigger than other gods, he's the biggest. Biggest. Okay, everybody kind of with me on that a little bit? Psalm 147, verse 5. You know, we have a lot of people in this world think they're pretty smart. You know, big feeling kind of people that think they know it all. That really grinds on me worse than about anything. When somebody's like, you know, you say something, well, I got the answer, I know exactly. And you're like, no, all you're hearing is know-it-all, right? And we have people, I mean, sometimes they got 10 degrees, they can speak 15 different languages, and they're just, you know, and probably they do have a pretty good brain, but God gave them that brain. But if they're guided in wrong directions, guess what? They're not speaking truth. And they're not know-it-all. If they got anything, it's come from God in the first place. Y'all agree with that? Psalm 147, verse 5. Says, quite simply, great is our Lord, and of great, what, power? His understanding is infinite. Infinite. It's not finite. It's not limited in any way. Now, if you think about that, that means that God's knowledge, his understanding, his wisdom exceeds the wisdom of everything else. whether that be human or angelic or other little g gods, throwing that back in there again, nothing can outthink God. Y'all agree with that? He is infinite in understanding. Remember, this is under point number two. He's the very biggest. Luke 1:37, the angel Gabriel to Mary. You know what the angel Gabriel said to Mary when she says, I know not a man. How can I have the Christ child, basically? I'm paraphrasing what she said. The angel answers back, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. You see that word, nothing? And do you see that impossible? Nothing shall be impossible. If I'm understanding that right, there is nothing that can come up against God and limit God in any way. Whether that be storms, whether that be demons, whether that be Satan himself, whether that be other angels, whether that be Antichrist or whatever. You know, kind of tuning into our Sunday morning series. There's nothing that can stand, because it says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You couldn't say that if God couldn't whoop anything that comes up against him. Right? Do you see the point there? He is the very biggest. Nothing can outthink him, that is. Nothing can outpower or overpower him. Matthew 19:26. It's talking about a rich man being saved. Remember, it says it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to be saved. And then he adds to that in chapter 19 and verse 26. It says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Notice these adjectives. You know, nothing shall be impossible. All things are possible. Notice that, all things. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Jeremiah, speaking of God, he says in verse 17, it says, all, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Drop down to verses 26 and 27. Notice what these verses say. It says, then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Here's the question. Is there anything too hard for me? Now see, the answer, that's a rhetorical question. Right? I mean, really, think about it. Is anything too hard for God? The answer is absolutely not. You see, our God is the very biggest. Very biggest. Nothing can outthink him, or no one, nothing. Nothing can outpower or overpower him. And then last point, this is what we want to get to. Point number three. You got point number one, point number two? All right. The title, how big is God? He's bigger than us. Point number one, he's bigger than other gods. Point number two, he is the very biggest. Point number three, he is bigger than us. He is bigger than us. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Notice what these verses say. It says, for my thoughts, God talking, right? My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Now just think about that for a minute. Our thoughts and God's thoughts are not the same. You know, one of the big reasons is our brain is so small and God is so all-knowing. I mean, it's not even close. So we scratch our head, a lot of things happen, and say, why in the world did that happen? And I don't understand that. Sometimes we let it make us for at least momentarily mad at God. But you know what? A lot of times we preachers don't have a great answer to that. You know, it's like, why did this happen, preacher? You know, I don't try to preach to people who are going through a tragic loss as far as, you know, well, it's all going to turn out for good. God knows what he's doing. You know, I don't, because usually what you want to hear is just, I'm praying for you, okay? I'm with you. But really, the story behind the story is that God is bigger than us. He gets it. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We don't even... We're not even the same. You know, if you're going to look at a scale here, let's say, a scale between 1 and 10. We're about a minus 1 million. And God, in his wisdom and knowledge and thoughts, is a gazillion times a gazillion. Now, I'm really not sure how much a gazillion times a gazillion is, but it's about the biggest number that I could come up with, okay? A gazillion times a gazillion. So God what? His thoughts are not our thoughts. Now, this is under the point. He's bigger than us. So sometimes God does something, and we want to process it through our brain. There's nothing wrong with processing it. There's nothing wrong with praying about it. There's nothing wrong if you have a good attitude. I really believe that some people, I think, it's got all mixed up about this. Like, you don't ever, ever, ever question God. Now, with an attitude, you don't. But if you're coming as a child of his, it's kind of like, what if I did something that Ryan and Jason didn't understand? And they come up to me and says, Dad, why did you do that? I would welcome that question for an opportunity to explain why I did that. So if we go to God, God is not intimidated with our questions, okay? It does not knock him off the throne because we had a question today. I mean, if we have a close walk with God and a close relationship, questions are welcome. I mean, you say, well, God, I don't understand. And again, if you come with an attitude, shaking your fist at God, now that's not good. That's sin. But if you go before God and say, God, I honestly, sincerely want to learn from this. I don't understand it. God is not intimidated with those questions. Do I hear it? Amen? But God's thoughts are not our thoughts. And then it goes on to say that basically our ways are not God's ways. You know, on our best day, we're still sinners, right? And on every day, our God is perfect, right? And he's love, and he's mercy, and he's grace, and he's goodness, and you keep putting all those good words in there because he's all of those things perfectly. But on our best day, we're still sinners, right? So God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Our ways are not God's ways. And then he goes on to explain that a little bit in the next verse. He says, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. Now the heavens are kind of like way above the earth, right? I mean, there's some parts of heavens that's right here, but it goes off. So are my ways higher than your ways. Higher, not lower. Not even equal to. Higher than our ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, I'm thankful that God is bigger than me. Because when I make a mess of things, I'm like, okay, God, I should have listened to you because you're bigger than me. Now, Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. God is bigger than us. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4. It says, when I consider thy heavens, the psalmist writes, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. He says, basically, I'm looking up saying, wow. You know, you look up at a star-filled night. There's probably a star-filled night moves me about as much as anything. You know, I'm like, wow, look at that. And the Bible also says in a passage of Scripture that he names them and he calls them by name. The billions and billions of stars. That's the kind of God we have. But when you look, and you look at the skies, you look at the stars, you look at all the things that have been created by this big God, notice it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man. Now, that's speaking of humans, too. It's not talking of the Son of Man, Jesus, that thou visitest him. In other words, if you can't read these two verses and come away with the conclusion, I'm bigger than God. He's just blessed to have me on his team. No. It's like, God, you're so big. Why in the world did you even take time for man? I don't know about you, but I'm looking at this. God's big. We not so much, you know? He's bigger than us. Now here's what I really wanted to get to the whole time, okay? He's bigger than us. So, listen, everybody, look up here. Why do we pretend to be so big sometimes? I mean, why do we pretend that we are so big? We pretend to be so big, and sometimes, and probably all of us at times, we pretend like we're bigger than God. In our decisions, in our actions, in our lack of actions. Many times by doing the things that we do and by not following what the Bible tells us to do, and there's nobody here that follows this Bible perfectly. None of us. But when we make the choice to not do what God tells us to do, do you know what we in essence are telling God? I think I'm smarter than you are, God. I think I'm bigger than you are, God, because I know better. Now let's just make this real personal for a minute, okay? There's a lot of people that say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm one of those people, and I'll probably say this until I die. If you know Jesus as your Savior, unless you're divinely hindered, you ought to be at church. And you ought not be punching some heavenly time clock in your mind saying, okay, I went to church once this week. Now listen. Now this is big. This is big. And I know you're here. So this shouldn't put you under too much of conviction. But listen, there's people that need to be under the conviction or chastening of the Holy Spirit of God. Because what are we saying? What are we saying when we know church is going on and it's my church and it's a good church and it's a solid church? It's a church that's going to draw me closer to God. But I'm not going to go because I got bigger things to do. Now what are we saying? Really, we are saying, I am bigger than God. Right? Now, before we get too upset with those people, we need to look in the mirror too. Because the Bible says, say ouch or oh me or amen or something out there. The Bible says that we're supposed to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Study the Word of God, right? It's God-breathed. And how many of us, we don't spend the time we should in the Word of God? And we make up flimsy excuses. Well, I'm just too busy. I got too much on my brain. My plate's full. I'm not, alone. It's hard for me to understand. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever the excuse might be. You know what we're saying? We're saying, I am bigger than God. I'm not going to listen to Him. What about the people we know that are lost? I don't know a single soul. I don't know a single individual Christian who doesn't get a little bit tense on the inside when it comes to talking to people about Jesus. Seriously, I think the devil puts that fear in us. Really, I do. I think the devil whispers in our ear, be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. But we've been commanded throughout Scripture. That's the reason God left us here. We know we're supposed to be doing it. God brings people that are lost into our path, and what do? We don't take advantage of the opportunity. Well, it scares me. I'm not exactly sure what to say sometimes. I'm going to leave that to somebody else. After all, I heard, now this was 20 years ago, but I heard they used to go to church. That's not anything. I mean, what are we saying when we make up excuses for telling people about Jesus? I am bigger than God. I know what's best. In our amusements and the things we do. Well, I know what you want me to do, God, but this is little pet sin. I'm going to look at this and watch this movie and watch this series that's ungodly as can be. But that, what are we saying? We say, I am bigger than God. Now, I'm sure that the nail is getting hit by the hammer in every one of our lives, so to speak. And I'm not looking at you saying, boy, whoa. I mean, I'm saying we got some work to do. But whenever we do things we shouldn't do or don't do things we should be doing, regardless of how many excuses we come up with, guess what we are saying? We would not dare say it with our mouth. But in our lives and in our testimony, we're saying, I am bigger than God. Is that acceptable? Even in areas that God may call you to minister in, there's been a lot of ministries and a lot of churches started by people in the pew that God says, I want you to do this. And when God says to you, I want you to do this, we have choice, right? We can mull it over in this little brain of ours and say no and say, I'm bigger than God. I'm not going to do that. I want to do what I want to do. Or we can say, God, you're the biggest, and you're a whole lot bigger than me. Do you know what we do? We mull it over in our brain. I'm reminded of Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. What's it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All thine heart. And this is the bit part that gets us in trouble. Do you know one of the biggest enemies of a Christian is this brain? Seriously. One of the biggest enemies of the kingdom of God moving forward is this brain. Because what we want to do. Now, praise the Lord, God gave us a brain. I sometimes wonder, and mine must be really small, but he gave us all a brain, right? But and there's nothing wrong with pondering it in the positive. But when you ponder it in the negative, and then you mull it over and say, well, I don't think so, God. I thought that was you telling me to do it. Now, okay, I guess it is, but I'm not talented enough. I'm not sure what that sound sounds like. I'm trying to figure it out. Like crinkling up paper or something. It's not my stomach. Not that messed up. But what do we do? And this goes for individuals. When God tells you to do something, and then you start figuring up. And I've heard people say, you know, when God calls you to do something, you're trying to figure it out and make a decision. Write down all the pros and all the cons. You ready for this? Just like it sounds like my mic is doing, just tear it, wad it up, throw it away, and say, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. Does that make sense? I was pondering on this a little bit today. It seemed like to me one of the biggest enemies of Christians moving forward in their Christian life, one of the biggest enemies of us accomplishing a lot for God, one of the biggest enemies of churches moving forward is this brain. Because all we want to do is think like humans. But that verse goes on, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and guess who's going to direct your paths? God is. What we want to do, we want to make up our own set of plans, our own set of rules on what we're going to do for you, God, and you're just, you better be glad to have me, God, but I'm going to do this. No, we ought to be falling at his feet saying, God, what do you want me to do? And when he says to do it, turn off the brain as far as making everything negative. Does that make sense? Now, God gave us a brain. Absolutely. Use it. Think. I mean, for instance, Ryan, he has surrendered to work on DC Outreach Ministries. What's that called? DC Project Outreach. Is that what it's called? No. DC, what is it called, Ryan? Oh, Gospel. That's a good thing. DC Gospel Outreach. And see, now I want to clarify between, you know, just don't. Not think about it, but when we think about it in a negative way. It's like they know Dr. Beal, the president of the school, the evangelist, he feels God has called him to do it. So he said, yes, sir. Ryan was tapped on the shoulder to be his helper, his assistant, so to speak. What are you called? Project coordinator? Okay. Your name is Ryan, right? Okay, good, good. See, I got one out of three. But... And Ryan prayed about it, and we prayed about it, and he felt like, okay, God wants me to do it. What did they do last week? They were in D.C. trying to come up with a plan. Not saying, God, we're not going to do it, but we're just looking at how we're going to best do it, right? Do you kind of see the distinction? I know maybe kind of a fine line, but when it comes to saying no to God, you need to turn your brain off. But God did give you a brain. Use it to minister the best that you can. I mean, it's like when Bev does junior church, her and Megan, I mean, it's like, we're not going to prepare anything. We're just going to show up at junior church. And we're just going to throw popcorn at everybody. You know, that's just what we're going to do. I mean, God gave you a brain, so use it. I'm not saying that God, but some people take it to extremes, and they'll say, no, we're not going to do that as a church. No, we're not going to do that as an individual. And then they give you all these human 86 reasons why you can't do it. Now that's where I'm talking about. We need to recognize that God is a whole lot bigger than we are. Does that make sense? Now, the delays might be pretty formidable with the height and the weight. Remember, I can sit on you. And Jason's biceps. But let me tell you, God is infinitely more formidable and big. Tonight we talked about three things. How big is God? He's bigger than other gods. Praise the Lord. Little g gods. He's the very biggest. I am so thankful he's not a wimpy God. And lastly, he's bigger than us. Now listen, in the silence of the moment, just listen for just a moment. Just glue your eyes up here for just a second. The first two points, he's bigger than other gods and he's the very biggest. Most Christians would really feel an amen coming on for that one. He's bigger than other gods. He's the very biggest. But when you get to the last point, a lot of Christians really are not living it. He's bigger than us. The verse that Ryan preached on Sunday night, one of the verses, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. I know that he's got better plans than we have for ourselves. So when we recognize that he is bigger than me, and when he tells me to do something, or he tells my family to do something, or if he tells my church to do something, God is bigger than anybody. Does that make sense? So we got to make sure that when he calls, we listen. We got to make sure that what he tells us to do, we're doing. We got to make sure that what we're not doing, that what he tells us to do, we're doing, and what he tells us not to do, we're not doing. That really shows to God. Otherwise, it's just words. That really shows to God, I really mean it, God. You're bigger than me. And I'm going to trust you in that. Let me ask you a few areas. In your decisions, in your actions, or maybe lack of actions, in your response to God, in your response to God's word, in your obedience, in your devotion, and in your faithfulness, are you truly telling God, you are bigger than me? You are bigger than me. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment? Let me give you just a little bit of time. As your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you know Jesus as your Savior, is God speaking to your heart through the Holy Spirit right now and saying, hey, here's an area. Here's something that God asked you to do. Here's something you ought to put into your life that's not there now, or you ought to improve upon, or here's something that should not be in your life. Is God speaking to your heart right now about it? If so, would you do business with God? Would you say, God, forgive me for that? Help me to show that you are bigger than me by listening to you, first and foremost. By listening to you, first and foremost. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, there may be someone here tonight or someone listening in by live stream who have never, ever trusted Jesus as their Savior. Can I tell you that's the best thing in this world that you can do? Is to call out to God, wherever you might be. Call out from your heart sincerely and mean it. And ask the Lord to forgive you of your sins. Tell God in prayer right now that you believe Jesus, his son, really did die on the cross to pay for your sins and then resurrected back to life. And if you tell God right now and mean it from your heart, I want Jesus to be my Savior. If you just did that where you are and truly meant it from your heart, you just became a part of the family of God. You just become a Christian. I'd encourage you, if you did that, to let us know here at Oakmount. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for all that you do for us. We thank you that we don't have some little wimpy God that's trying to lead us. But Lord, you're the biggest. You're bigger than other gods. You're the biggest overall, the very biggest. And Lord, you're bigger than we are. And Lord, we just thank you for being that kind of God, that big God. May we examine our hearts and lives, Lord, and see the areas that we're saying, you're not big enough, God, and processing it in our own brain and doing our own thing. Lord. Lord, help us to realize that you're God over everything, and you're a big God, the biggest, and listen to you in these areas, we pray. Lord, we love and thank you. Bless our prayer time together.